Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to today's program. I'm Tracy McClure. Thanks for joining me. Coming up today, Christian churches in the Middle East are facing one of the greatest challenges in their history from rising emigration. And if the trend continues, may one day completely disappear. We'll have more on that frightening prospect from the World Council of Churches. And you may think she's Muslim, but she's not. An Iraqi doctor receives the prestigious Catholic Woman of the Year Award in Britain, bringing to light the trials and trauma faced by Iraq's small Christian minority. Christian churches in the Middle East are facing one of the greatest challenges in their history from rising emigration. And if the trend continues, they may completely disappear. That's the bleak prediction of the World Council of Churches General Secretary, who has recently returned from a fact-finding mission to the region. Reverend Dr. Samuel Kobia told me he's concerned that the war in Iraq has sent unprecedented numbers of Christians fleeing the land where they've lived for centuries. Violence is one reason why Christians are leaving their homes, but economic woes and even discrimination, even in so-called moderate nations like Jordan, are making Christians head elsewhere for a brighter future.
Those are the main reasons that cause Christians to leave their countries. And in Beirut, in Dubai, and in Damascus, I heard stories from Christians who have been forced, and I say clearly forced, because many of them have been kicked out, if you will. I heard from 50 families who are refugees now in Syria, and the stories they told are very, very disturbing indeed, because those who have left Baghdad, especially in the recent past, have said that they were told there is no future for Christians in Iraq, because they say that the Iraq war is a Christians waging war against Muslims. And many of them were forced to leave their businesses, to leave their houses, in sometimes within just a matter of hours. And when I talked with them, they told me they have no intention of going back. Now, this was very, very disturbing, because we know that Christianity in Iraq has been practiced for centuries. And they feel that they practice a religion that is as indigenous in Iraq as any other, and therefore they feel that they belong there. But their Muslim majority have decided now time has come for them perhaps to empty Iraq of Christians and Christianity. This is extremely disturbing, and I'm very concerned about that.
What is the answer then? Is it simply a question of just providing greater protection for the Christian community in Iraq?
I think that certainly should be part of the answer. I left Syria having listened to those Christians with the a concern that we as church leaders around the world need to get together and discern what would be the best way of responding to the situation as it is developing now in Iraq. There is need for greater protection. I would say that the government of Iraq will have to be held accountable for the protection that is needed to be both in the constitution and to be practiced. But also, I think there is need for education. We need to counter the perception that the war in Iraq is a war waged by Christians. It is very well known that the churches around the world, the Catholic Church and the voice came from none other than the Pope himself, ourselves in the World Council of Churches, we issued very strong statements that condemned the war on Iraq. And I think many Iraqi Muslims need to hear what we as Christians around the world, how we viewed the war. So this should not be used as a pretext.
You're obviously very concerned about the situation of the Christian community there in Iraq. But also we've seen in other parts of the Middle East a real outflow of immigrants, especially from Lebanon. Lebanon is a very unstable politically and economically, is very unstable at this moment. We've seen violence there as well. Many Christians have left. They're also having fewer children in Lebanon.
Indeed, yes. And that is another concern that we had. And we heard testimonies of about a dozen young people, most of them university students. And the reasons they gave for wanting to emigrate, one, the depressed economy, and therefore they say they don't see any future for them in an economy like that. Secondly, is political instability. And again, they felt that the future is very bleak if you look at the political situation there. So again, here is a situation where the balance, as you have mentioned, between the religious communities will be affected if a majority of the younger generation of Christians will leave Lebanon, as indeed they might do. It is true that also in the Holy Land, there are young Christians who are leaving. Last year in June, when I visited Israel and Palestine, again, I heard testimonies of young Christians, both men and women, who said that the situation is so volatile that they will really have to go and seek a better future elsewhere. Now, let me say that I also heard some encouraging voices in Syria, especially, where the Grand Mufti said clearly to us that he and the Muslim community in Syria would advocate very strongly for Christians to remain and Christianity to remain in the region, because it's part of the culture of the people, and they would be willing very much to work with us as Christian leaders on this issue of the future of Christianity in the Middle East. I heard the same thing from fairly senior Muslim leaders in Jordan, who had said yes, they were concerned that many Christians and especially younger ones were leaving, and that because also Christian families opting for smaller families, that the population of Christians in Jordan has been declining over the years. So there are many factors that we needed to take into account. And I would like, out of this visit, to share with the church leaders around the world about the situation there. And as I say, we need to get together to agree on a common approach to this very critical issue.
Pope Benedict the 16th, as well as his predecessor, John Paul II, have been very concerned that in leaving the Middle East, many Christians are depriving their homeland of the Christian witness in the very region where Christ was born. How important is that witness to the Middle East?
It is extremely important, really, and I fully support and subscribe to the view of His Holy Father here. And I feel that without a significant witness of Christianity in the Middle East, this will deprive not only that region, but the diversity that is required. And when we talk of a Christian-Muslim relationship and cooperation, we could find some good examples on how Christians and Muslims can live together by looking at some of the situations in the Middle East. And therefore, with the Christian witness getting weaker in the Middle East, I think the loser is not only Christians, but also those societies and even Islam.
How do you see the churches working together to face these challenges?
I think it is we have no choice really but to work together, because I think also by working together, we'll be able to have a coherent voice and a message to the rest of the world, and particularly in the Middle East. And it's better if we work together than we work separately. One of the concerns that I heard from some Muslim leaders there, but also some of the traditional Christian churches there, is that there is emerging a new way of, well, they certainly would consider it as proselytism. And therefore, they are saying we need to understand from Christians, as Christians, whether there is to be a new wave of evangelical work or evangelization of Muslims, because they say this is what the new groups of Christians, and they are saying these are different from the missionaries of 19th and the 20th century, and this is causing concern for them. And therefore, I think we as Christians need to work together. We need to understand the region very clearly. And it is true there are some very enthusiastic, charismatic groups and individuals today who, out of, I would say, good intentions to evangelize and spread the gospel, but certainly they need to understand some other cultural, political dynamics in the Middle East, and their work should not complicate the life of Christians there.
Reverend Dr. Samuel Kobia is the General Secretary of the World Council of Churches. With a name like Suha Rasam, most people in Britain automatically think she's Muslim. But she's not. She's a Chaldean Catholic from the tiny 2,000-year-old community of Christians in Iraq. Suha, a doctor who has written a book about Iraq's tiny Christian minority and founded a charity to help those who fled the fighting, is one of four women to receive this year's prestigious Catholic Women of the Year Award in Britain. Catholic writer and awards committee member Joanna Bogle explains why Suha's nomination stood out.
We were particularly interested when we saw this one for somebody who was helping Iraqi Christians. I think there's a general feeling in Britain, probably other countries, that the Christians in Iraq don't really exist. We don't really know very much about them. And this is absurd because there is a strong and deeply rooted Christian community with the most wonderful heritage stretching back many, many centuries. So we were very touched to discover here was somebody speaking up for these Iraqi Christians about whom we all felt, I think, we should know more. We felt very embarrassed that they were a neglected group in the public sphere.
Suha founded the charity Iraqi Christians in Need to provide financial and material support to Iraqi Christians who've been forced to leave their homes and their livelihoods to flee the conflict and the persecution in their country.
One of the things that we realized was that she's been helping the rest of the world, and particularly Britain, to be alert to what's actually going on in Iraq and the position of the Christians there. First, before the present situation in Iraq, at the time of sanctions, when many of them were finding it very difficult with their health care and so on, she organized fundraising and donations to various charities that were working there when it was possible to do it. And then in the aftermath of the present invasion and fighting, she's been highlighting what's been going on and particularly, you know, trying to help the Christians there and raising funds for displaced families who've had to flee, for example, to Syria.
I caught up with Suha at her London home and asked her how she felt When she was notified, she was one of this year's award winners.
I felt greatly honored. I didn't know about it. It was a great surprise to me one morning when asked whether, you know, to accept this title which has been given to me. I was really pleased, not only because it's an honor to myself, but because it will make the cause that I have been working for more known, namely the presence of Iraqi Christians and their special plight since 2003.
Well, in fact, I was speaking with Joanna Bogle, one of the selection committee, who told me that your candidacy stood out because it does bring to light the dramatic situation of Iraqi Christians. And we find that it's a community that few people even know exists in Iraq today. Tell us a little bit more about Christianity in Iraq.
Well, Christianity in Iraq was established from the first Christian century. According to tradition, it was St. Thomas with Thaddeus and his pupils, Agai and Mari, who brought Christianity to Iraq soon after the death and resurrection of Jesus. What made it highly possible that this is true, because we don't have written evidence or anything written by them extant, is the presence of a large Jewish community that was present on Pentecost Day in Jerusalem when they were celebrating the day of Pentecost. So Christianity is in Iraq is as old as Christianity itself, and it grew and flourished in spite of, in the beginning the Persians were tolerant, but then there was a persecution for 40 years, and the Church of Iraq came through that persecution as a well-organized church by the 5th century, and then it grew independently of the Western churches and followed a different theology and spread its wings right to Central Asia, China, and down to India, and there are still the Christians of St. Thomas in India, which are the result of the evangelization of the Iraqi Christian church.
So what does the Christian community in Iraq look like today? And how many are Catholics?
Before 2003, the estimate is about a million Christians in Iraq, the majority of whom are Chaldeans. The Chaldeans are the result of the union of members of the Church of the East with the Roman Catholic Church. So the Chaldeans make something like 70% of Iraqi Christians.
When you are walking around the streets of Britain and you meet people, I mean, do you find some people are surprised to hear that you're a Christian and your family is probably generations of Christians?
Of course, that was, in fact, what led me to write the book. When people know that I'm a Christian and they get surprised, and when I tell them that we come from a very, very ancient community in Iraq, they are surprised. And then I started to look for references, for sources to give them, and I couldn't find any useful, you know, books or things to help give them to read about us. And this is why I wrote the book Christianity in Iraq. That was the real incentive behind this effort.
I see that you are originally from Mosul in northern Iraq, but you left Iraq in 1990 for England. So I'm assuming that you yourself are a refugee from the first Gulf War. Is that right?
Well, I wasn't really a refugee. I mean, when I left, when I came to England, it was for doing some research. I was an assistant professor in the University of Baghdad, and I needed some papers, and I thought I'll spend a sabbatical year in England. This is why I came. But 3 weeks after I came, the war between Iraq and Kuwait started, and my husband was there, my son was there. My other son was with me, with my daughter. So the family was split, and we really suffered during the 6 months until the war and until the war bombing of Baghdad finished. And my husband and myself just took a decision not to go back because of the horrors we sort of withstood, and because of somehow we started, as many other Christians or many other Iraqis have seen, as if the area was boiling and there is no longer any future for us there, having tolerated 8 years of war with Iran and gone through a lot of troubles because of that, soon after, you know, the war with Iran has finished, we go into another war and another destruction, just made things look very bleak to us from those days. And gradually, these sort of feelings became substantiated as more and more people fled Iraq to Western countries because of the years of sanctions, because of all the atrocities committed by Saddam, and because of all of the troubles that the area has been going through.
I'm sure your own personal experience has led you to look at refugees in a new light. Is that sort of your concentration in your work with Iraqi Christians in need?
That's true. In fact, because of writing a book and starting to talk to different British communities about the existence of Christians Iraq, as this happened, it coincided with what started to happen after 2003, the chaos and the confusion in the country, the killings which happened, which occurred through all sections of society. But gradually, a picture of special targeting of the Christians emerged. And I was fully aware of that. And having read the history of Iraq and what has happened through history, somehow as if this has happened before and it's happening again. And I said, wow, this is going to drive the Christian community. It's like it's gradually started to look like an ethnic cleansing.
Well, in fact, we've heard of the terrible assassinations of several Iraqi Christian religious leaders, an archbishop, bombings of churches, kidnappings. It does seem like there is a concerted effort to, by some, at least in Iraq, to rid the country of its small Christian minority. But what would that mean for Iraq today? What would it mean for Iraqis to lose the Christian minority?
Well, it is a great pity. I mean, the minorities, not only the Christians, we have Mandaeans, we have Yazidis, they have been the sort of a part of the fabric of the Iraqi society since ancient times. Iraq consisted of different religions and different people, and we managed to live peacefully with each other and to respect each other for generations. So to come back to a specific targeting of minorities and to rid the country of these minorities will be a complete change in the fabric of society, and I think it will be a great pity for everybody.
Do you think that Christians have something special to offer Iraq?
Well, we have always been peaceful people through all these atrocities. We have not retaliated. That is something to be proud of.
While many people have been calling on the Iraqi government to provide greater protection for Christians in Iraq, we wouldn't want to see Christians ending up there living in a ghetto and being alienated from other Iraqis. So what is the answer, do you think?
I think the answer is the establishment of true democracy and freedom for all people to live equally, whether Christians, Muslims, Shiites, Sunnis, Kurds, Arabs. They have to have equal rights and equal roles to play in their country. That's the only answer, is for Christians to live next to their Muslim brothers, their Mandaean brothers, in friendship and peace, just as we did. I mean, I was brought up with this atmosphere. I never knew who's Shia or Sunni of my Muslim friends, and we never felt being persecuted by our Muslims. In fact, we were loved by all, and I would like that situation to come back.
Your work with Iraqi Christians in Need, what do you actually do with this organization that you've established?
We have been trying to raise funds to help those people who are in need, and there are a large number. I mean, the majority of Iraqi Christians are now displaced, whether in or outside the country. In Syria, there is a large number. In United Nations HCR has reported that 44% of the Iraqis registering with them are Christians, even though the Christians make only 5% of the population. So a large section of the refugees in Syria are Christians, much larger than what is expected. The same can be said in Jordan, although I have no figures for that. And within Iraq, large areas have been emptied of its Christians. El Dora, which used to be called Vatican of Iraq, is now emptied of its Christians. It had two cathedrals, several churches, the Babylon College was there. Most of the populations were Christians, and they were evicted from their homes at gunpoint. They have been displaced to other areas. So the majority of the Iraqi Christians are now displaced, whether in or outside Iraq. So we have been trying to send funds for them. But the other main reason for establishing the charity is to, just as I said in the beginning and as you said, to make the plight of these small number of, or minority, you can call them, known to the Western world in general, that there is a small section of the society which is all in suffering. I mean, you cannot say that about the other communities. You can say the same about the Mandaeans, and I don't know about the Yazidis. They are in the small section within north of Iraq, but the Christians have been mainly living in the cities, Mosul, Basra, and Baghdad, and it is in these areas that the ethnic cleansing has taken place.
What would you like to see the Catholic Church or other Christians do in this situation?
Well, we need help, both spiritual, moral, and financial, to the displaced people. I met them when I went to Syria. They just feel abandoned. The number of Chaldeans, they are the majority, as I said, of the Iraqis. They are living in a very poor area in Damascus, Jarmana. And the stories you hear are just horrendous. Even the number of priests looking after them is not adequate. Money is coming through the United Nations, through Caritas, and through other organizations. The churches are helping. But, still it's not enough. Everybody is in need. And supporting our charity will be one way. We are trying to help through the churches and through establishing centers for education to young girls, to adults, English, computers, whatever program we can sort of help to these people who are stranded there with no work to do. Many of them lag behind in their education, and many of them have turned to illegal, prostitution, to many other things, selling their kidneys. And it's a pity to see such a dignified community who used to have its own sort of dignity in Iraq. Everybody had jobs, and they were, they had their homes. It's all gone from them, and we need to take care of them. As I mentioned, the charity is working, but there is not enough psychological and actual support. For example, those who have suffered tragedies, like their daughter has been abducted and abused and then killed and left in their in front of their home, dismembered and in a sack, like somebody whose husband has died during an accident and she's left with two little children. These are stories that I have, these are people I know. These cannot go back because they are traumatized and they need psychological support. They need to be given asylum in order to be able to recover psychologically. We do not want to, as you said, that all Iraqi Christians leave to Western countries. But I think these special cases have to be considered and have to be given asylum and given psychological and financial support in a specific way.
Dr. Suha Rassam is one of the four winners of the Catholic Women of the Year Award in Britain. You can find out more about her and the charity she founded by clicking on the website icin.org.uk. That's Iraqi Christians in Need. All the best to her and best wishes for the good work she's doing. Well, that's all we have time for today. Thanks for listening. I'm Tracy McClure. If you'd like to hear this and other programs on our website, the address is www.vaticanradio.org. Again, thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the English program of Vatican Radio. Laudato Jesus Christus.